those two. Leviticus. We want to be encouraged to encourage you to pray for God's working at the camp out. Remember, we're praying for God to give us 3 to 5 strong families this year that will become part of our church, strengthen our ministry, strengthen our school. Pray that God would answer that prayer and continue to work. Pray for these many families from VBS. Some of you know the Davies family. I think we ought to be praying for them especially. And continue to pray for our school for next year, that God would strengthen it. We need new strength in our school, and it only comes from families that are committed to the Lord for raising their children for the God. We'll pray for that rebuilding of our school. Continue to pray for the kindergarten class for next year. We were hoping Joshua Ross would be in that kindergarten class. We kind of lost contact mainly with that family. They moved out of town. Pray for preschool and pray for the daycare families. The Lord is working a number of their hearts. And if you're available to help daycare next week on a volunteer basis so some of the workers can go to the camp, that would be a blessing. Also, our camp this year is going to have a couple different emphases. In fact, we are going to do some things at camp that will kind of make it special for the college and career age. And so they're going to have a certain segment that's aimed at them. And the junior senior high is going to also have a segment of the camp in which they are just kind of in their own group, have their own identity. And so pray for the camp in many different ways that God would use it. Leviticus chapter 26, a great verse that we've looked at before, but I'd like us to be challenged tonight about the great principle of unity in prayer. And here's a great verse on unity. And 5 of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Well, you know, 100 is only 5 times more than, it's only 20 times more than 5. But notice the multiplication there. 5 will chase 100, but 100 shall put 10,000 to flight. 5 will be multiplied by 20, but 100 will be multiplied by 100. And notice the great principle of spiritual unity. And the Bible teaches the importance of spiritual unity. And one of the areas that certainly is important in the life of a church is a people that pray. You know, I think I was reading somewhere, and the person said, you know, there's hardly ever a person who ever comes to Jesus Christ as their Savior that hasn't been prayed for. 1 Timothy chapter 2, first of all, I will that prayers, intercessions be made, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then it says later in chapter trying to quote this correctly, that they might be saved. Here's a direct passage of Scripture teaching us to pray for people to be saved. And it is one of the primary understanding of a church is that prayer is the foundation of the church and the power of God and God working in the life of a church. Now, of course, as a Christian, we know that prayer is not something that's made up. Prayer is real because we have the ability to talk to God because our sins are forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have direct access to God. And so we think about the importance of unity in prayer. Notice in Acts chapter 2, in verse number 14, we have unity in prayer. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And it says they all continued with one accord, one focus, one purpose. There was unity in prayer. And, of course, we find that that is a great theme throughout the book of Acts, was unity in prayer. Turn with me to Acts chapter 12. Here Peter had been, James the apostle had been killed. And Peter was put in jail, and they were going to kill Peter. And the Bible says that, verse 5, but Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Of course, it wasn't, doesn't give us the idea of just a handful of people that were praying for the Lord, for Peter to be released. But this is a need, a prayer request that gripped the whole church. Obviously, Peter was a very significant individual and had a great impact upon the ministry. But the Bible tells us that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You know, I think we see a couple parallels here of power in united prayer. I think we have the aspect of a common request, a common object of prayer, but we also find in that unity for prayer. We find a common intensity. And you know, the intensity of prayer is as well a key principle of the unity and the power of that prayer. I was just reading about Charles Finney was describing one of his revivals, and he said that when people got together, that almost immediately they would begin to pray with one another. Prayer was such an intense focus of their mind and of their heart. And their burden to see God work came out in a unity of intensity and of prayer. You know, you think about that. I guess really know the Lord is working when two Christians get together and they start talking and, you know, they say, you know what, we need to pray. Now, I remember when Mr. Griffin was in the difference between life and death there in the hospital. And we had some hours of prayer for Mr. Griffin. And we say he came to this crisis, and people, I said, call back to church, says, email folks, pray for him. And he get through that crisis, and maybe a couple hours later, there'd be another crisis. And so I said, well, you know, we better pray for Mr. Griffin. Send an email back to church and out to people. Pray for Mr. Griffin. There's another crisis. And he'd get through that crisis. The next day, there'd be another crisis. And it finally dawned on me. I said, you know what? This crisis praying is great, but we better be praying with the same amount of earnestness between these crises. And We called for intense, continuous prayer for his life, for his recovery. And you kind of sense here, and now sometimes we understand that in a physical sense, but there's also that sense in a spiritual sense, in which a people become so burdened and desirous that see people saved that they have that same kind of intensity about prayer and praying. And there is unity when there's a unity in intensity. There is a unity when there is a unity of focus. There is a unity that is determined by the amount of people who are a part of that unity. Now, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together. Well, you know, you can have two or three people pray about something, and that is certainly more powerful than one person. You know, when a husband and wife decide that they're going to pray about something, and they get together and they pray, you know, it's sad to say, but it doesn't always happen real often that a husband and wife really get burdened and they really pray about something, and they really bring something to God that they are really trusting God for. Well, you know, God answers that kind of prayer. But what happens when you add to that? What do you happens when you add another person? What if you add three or four more persons? What if you add 20 persons to that? You know, there is, the Bible is teaching that, yeah, there's spiritual power in five chasing 1,000, but there's a whole lot more power when there's 100. And, you know, that's one of the whole purposes of a church. There's another aspect of unity. And that aspect is not necessarily always the number, but that aspect is the power of percentage. The power of percentage. A church might have 1,000 people, and it would be nothing to get, maybe it shouldn't be nothing for them to get 100 people to unite together in prayer. But that's still only 10% of the church, isn't it? That's still only 10% of the church. And so there's a unity in percentage. So if you have a Sunday school class and you have 10 children at Sunday school class and you have 9 of them burdened and committed to praying for somebody in their class that's not saved, now you got power. Yeah, spiritual power. Because why? You have percentage. You have everybody in that class committed to a spiritual task to do that which needs to be done. People believing in God and believing in the fact that the work can only be done by God and trusting God by faith to do it. And so we have many aspects of unity that are very important. You know, it typically starts off small. Typically it starts off small. I was in Hungary, and Augie and Lydia and Peter all go to the same high school. And the week that I was there, those three decided that they were going to pray together before school. And At times, Lydia and Augie would pray, but they decided that all three of them were going to pray And it was amazing the boldness that they had talking to their teachers, inviting them. In fact, on Sunday, one of their teachers came to the anniversary service. One of the teachers from the public school came. And you know the reason? There was three young people who united in prayer. And you know, we all know, well, we can pray. But to decide to unite in prayer is many times a whole other step, isn't it? And so we find a very important lesson. Now, what if a family decides to pray together? Now, sometimes a family prays together, but the kids, they don't really mean it. They do it because the parents mean it. But what if a family decides to pray? Wow. Now you got some power, don't you? Because you have a unit, and you have more than one. Anytime you have more than one, you have more than double the power. You know what I'm saying? You ever do work with someone? I don't know what job we were doing in Hungary. I can't remember what we were doing. And I said to Brother Gideon, I said, you know, two can get a lot more done working together than one individual working twice as long. Same amount of man hours, but two working together can get much more done than one person working twice as long. And so you have that same principle in the family. Unity of prayer. And you know, really that's what one of the things that family devotion should be about. You know, us dads, we need to get it put together in our head. Family devotions is not a mere duty. You know, what if you went to work and you just, you know, punched in your time card and you didn't do anything? What would that accomplish? Nothing. You know, you can do family devotions. You just punch in your time clock and you're not doing anything. But, you know, think about it. You know, family devotions ought to be a time in which you have the power of united prayer. The power of a family praying together. In which the kids, the parents, they agree. They have faith. They are trusting God for something great. There's spiritual power in that. You know, family devotions isn't something that you do. Family devotions is an opportunity to accomplish something for God. Same thing with prayer group. You might have 5, 6, 7 guys in your prayer group. But you know what? You might not accomplish anything in your prayer group. And how could that be? Well, because when one person is praying, the other people are thinking about what they're going to do after church. Well, they aren't praying in unity, are they? They're not accomplishing anything. One person can have faith and the other people don't have any faith. One person can be right with God and other people in the group, they're not right with God. And so you can't have unity in faith because you can't have unity in the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, there's just so many multiple. Now, you know what? I bet that you, we are not really a betting man, but you probably can tell in your prayer group if there's spiritual unity. And to be honest with you, when I'm in a group of men, that there is a sense in which we are seeking to accomplish something for God, I don't like that. I don't like to have to get another prayer group. And I feel sorry for you if you're in a prayer group where, you know, people are dolly-dagging around to get to the prayer group, and when they get to the prayer group, they're talking about this, and they're talking about this, and talking about this, and all this other foolishness, and they're not interested in prayer. Well, I tell you what, that's miserable. You don't come to prayer to have someone talk about, give some story, and just carry on the conversation. You know what? You get to prayer, and it's great to have a prayer group where, you know, you're getting there, and you know what? Boy, we're here to do business for God. And there's power in unity. And the more unity there is, the more power there is. Now, if you have three people in your prayer group that are united, there's going to be some sense of spiritual power. But you're going to almost feel the power just kind of when, you know, other people are praying, and you know they're just kind of, it just senses like they're just going through the motions, or they don't really, they're just praying just to pray. But, you know, there's no intensity there. There's no power there. There's no unity there. And, you know, you say, oh boy, we're missing part of what we could have here. And so, you know, to have unity, there's a multitude of spiritual things that are a part of that. And, we can, if we come to church and we have things that aren't right with God, we have things in our life, well, boy, that just took away the power of unity, didn't it? Well, we need to get we need to confess that right away, amen, and get that right, and so we can have a measure of power in prayer. And so, again, don't look at prayer as a duty. Certainly it's a duty. But you know what? Prayer is an opportunity to accomplish something for God. And the key to that power in prayer is a people who are saved, who are walking with God, who have a similar purpose with the Lord, and who are willing to exercise faith in unity with others. And so even as we have our prayer groups, I trust that you will have a sense of unity about our missionaries. I trust that you'll have, maybe in your prayer group there is a real sense of maybe two or three prayer requests that, boy, you know, we can really rally around this. I appreciate some in our prayer group who always make sure that they give the requests that haven't been mentioned. And that's refreshing, because then we can all join in on that request. But the unity is in our hearts. It's in our soul. It's between us and God. And there is great power in prayer, in united prayer. And may the Lord teach us how to pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity tonight to think about this very important subject of unity in prayer. And, Lord, I pray that us fathers who ought to lead our family in devotions, that we, Lord, would be able to lead our families to be specially united in prayer and to accomplish things in prayer. I pray that, Lord, that you will join the people of God who have common burdens, common people that they are praying about, that they would have unity as they would commit, Lord, with others to pray for special needs, and even as, Lord, different the men have committed to praying, target praying for some individuals to be saved. And Lord, I pray that you would make this truth alive in our hearts. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd work in the heart of that person that isn't saved, that they can't have unity because there's nothing on the inside. There's no power there. There's no passion because they've not been born again. And I pray to work in their heart. And I pray, Lord, for those that their spirit is dead because of sin, and they've allowed sin to take over their life, and they can't hardly pray. They're hardly praying for themselves, nonetheless someone else. I pray that, Lord, you'd help them to confess those things and to get, their life surrendered to you, that they can have a purpose in their life and that you can work in their life. Make our prayer groups what they ought to be, even tonight, Lord. And join our hearts together as we pray for our missionaries, and they need us so, so very much. And these many people from VBS, and these many people that even this week, Lord, their hearts were open because of what was happening spiritually, even around this place. And so I pray that you'll have victory even in our lives tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen.